then please pray it out loud. If you have a prophetic word that's been dropped in your spirit, then speak it out. We are having fun today. You sure can.
It's just amazing that she can feel his presence, and she can see the changes that he's made in my life, and it's just overwhelming for her. And you know, it's good to have these happy tears that you know, my family can see the changes that he's made in my life.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. What a treasured moment. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say? No one's chomping at the bit. You want to say something? Sure.
My partner for 36 years has just found out that he has cancer. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but today I felt the presence of God. I really did feel his presence. And he's helped my granddaughter so much. I just hope he can do the same for my partner. Thank you for hearing me.
What is his name? We could pray for him now.
His name's Doug.
Okay, are we all going to pray? Okay. Father, we just thank you for Doug's life. Lord, we've just heard the bad report, but we know that you're a God that can change everything. So right now, we just speak to that cancer. We curse it from its very roots. And we ask, Lord, that you will pull it out from its root and cause it to shrivel up and die. That a good report will begin to come around him. That people that are going to speak positive things into his life are going to begin to come around him and cause his eyes to focus upon life and life abundantly. Father, if he does not know you yet, that I ask for an encounter with you, that he would meet you face to face and know that you're a God who is true, a God who loves him, Lord, and a God that can heal him and restore him, spirit, soul, and body. So, Lord, touch him, embrace him, turn his focus upon you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Sorry. Peter, would you like to come?
Hello, that's working. I've turned that off. You're going to have to talk without that because I've just turned it off. Unless, Neil, you want to do that.
I want to interrupt you. I just sense when I saw Catherine in the restoration moment, I just sense how happy that makes God, you know, because that's what he came for, is restoration. And I would like to encourage anyone who's got broken relationships, you know, to go and restore, because that's how God's presence comes. We hinder what God wants to do in our lives when we have broken relationship. And it also encouraged me knowing that that is God's heart, but we can't force it. It happens in his own time. And we have to make choices to change our lives and to get it right with God so that we can restore those things. But there's answer to prayer always. So,
amen and amen. I just like to pray for us and for Peter. Father, I just thank you for my husband. I thank you for the anointing that's upon him. I thank you for the journey that you've taken him on, the lessons that he's learnt from childhood to this point in time, and the lessons that are to come. Lord, I just ask that you would help him to speak what you've placed in his spirit in words that we can understand, that you'd grant us understanding of spiritual things that he's going to share, that you'd grant us ears to hear and a heart to understand. I pray this all in Jesus' name.
Hey man, I was looking for the mic. I've got the mic. Is that loud enough? Is that on? Is it working? I hope so. Well, good morning, church. He is a good, loving God, isn't he? I mean, why wouldn't you want to know him? He wants to bless his people. He wants to give love and set people free of all the pain, all the hurt, all the stuff that we carry. But often, we don't want that. We want to do it our own way. I'd do my own thing. That's what we have, that kind of idea, yeah? Well, I just want to pray something too. Father, this morning I break all spiritual darkness, all things that have tried to come against us this morning, all hindrances. I pray open heaven. I pray your presence. I pray give us all a heart of understanding to hear and listen to your word today, to what you want to say. I pray release and breakthrough today. I pray your angels in this place, your presence and your love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, what a way to start a sermon this morning. Because don't try to tell me just this one sin. I'll just stop and then I'll just stop. Just this one thing. What's he talking about? Just one sin and then I'll just stop. Who are we trying to kid? You ever do that? You ever think, I'll just do it once. Just do it once. She'll be right. Then I'll just carry on and I won't do it anymore. You know, there's a saying, yeah? It says, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And you know, if that were the truth, then Adam and Eve would have repented and we would have all been good today, right? There would have been no problem. If Adam and Eve had just repented just from that one sin, just from eating that fruit, everything would have been good. It doesn't work like that. You think if you're going to play with something, you're just going to play and stop. No, you're not. You're going to get caught up. You're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and further away and in all sorts of pain. This one small sin spiraled out into a fallen, broken world. Adam and Eve in the garden, yeah, we all know the story, you know, ate the fruit. That one small sin, look what we've got in humanity today, because of that one thing. We were all born rebels, whether we realise it or not. Did you know that? Everybody's born a rebel. Should be right, no, I'm not listening to you, I'm doing my own thing. Don't do this, yeah, whatever, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, that's what people do. You see, even in the Garden of Eden, Eve in the Garden of Eden ate the fruit of deception, when the devil suggested that God was withholding things from her. How often do we think that? If I don't do this, I've got something that's withheld from me, so I've got to find out what it is. Although the fruit of deception was appealing to the eye, it wasn't the fruit that enticed Eve, it was the same lie that's been said today. You can have self-government, you can be your own God. I can do it myself, I don't need that. Don't we do that in life? I know I have. I know I still suffer with these things in my life and find out the hard way. You see, Genesis 3:10 says that the devil said to Eve, and this is in the Message version, that God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. You see, the devil tells you that. You know, just have it. You'll be right. She's fine. Tell someone in this day and age not to do something and that same rebellious streak shows up. And we get the same result as we did with Adam and Eve. Something is being withheld from me and I want it. What started out with one tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden, and notice that tree was central, right in the centre of God's garden. It wasn't stuck in some little obscure corner. It was right in the centre, smiling. Come on, you know you want me. They had everything, a literal virtual paradise, but right in the middle of all that was good, rebellion struck. That tree, that one tree, now faces up and fronts up in everyone's life. All of us. We all get that same test. We all have to take that test. What are you going to do? Are you going to do something you know where it's going to lead you? Or are you going to listen to God and know I'm going to be free and blessed? And I still struggle with areas like that. I still think, oh yeah, it should be right. Nah, it doesn't work like that. We all have choices on this earth. All good things come from God, yeah? All good things. And yet, just like Eve in the Garden of Eden, we choose the temptations for things that when we first try them, often they can be quite disgusting. We try cigarettes because we think we will be accepted. You know, that was one of the hardest things for me to stop. Let's just burn our lungs out, cough our lungs out, all because I will fit in with a whole lot of other people who don't know where they're going or really don't have a clue about life either. We do that though. I did that with the drugs, I did that with the drink, I'm going to be cool, I hated it. I remember at the start, you know, drugs and drink, I hated it, but I wanted to try it. And I wasn't going to do it again, yeah. 16 years later, nearly ended up in a psych ward living in a tin shed. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. You can't afford to do these things. I'm not saying God doesn't set you free. When we cry out and ask for his help, he sets us free. But we don't want to. Just like Eve in the garden. You know, they could have turned around and said, Lord, sorry, forgive me. But they didn't. They'd already got the taste of it. They were going to go that way. And hence, here we are today. Isn't sin like that? We choose something that, strangely enough, we know is wrong. We may not even really like, but we don't think of the consequences of the prison we build for ourselves when we get addicted. So instead of living in the promised land of the goodness from God, we live from hell's perspective and create for ourselves a prison here on earth. All Eve was told not to do was eat the fruit of this one tree. They had everything, freedom to live in paradise, but they believed God was withholding good things from them. Friends, the whole world is still doing, believing and feeling, falling for the very same lie today. Still falling for the very same stuff. Today I want to speak about where this rebellion leads, and in the conclusion of today, lead us through some prayers to break some of the curses and spiritual strongholds that may still be in our lives, that may still have us in prisons. Prayers that I think we all should pray, because we all go through stuff. So why does spiritual darkness still have access to people legally, even when we come to faith? Because there's areas in our lives we still, you know, okay, yeah, we've got a beautiful relationship with God, but as we go along we find there's still stuff there. But God doesn't hate us. He just loves us exactly the same. He loves us that he loves us that he loves us. We need to understand that. God's love is there, and that's what's so beautiful. Because of his love, we find out we change. Why do people find that they're still stuck in areas, no matter how much they try to stop doing things that they don't want to do? Remember, even though we're now a child of God, we've been so steeped in rebellion. You see, we've had this stuff, it's come down the family line, it's come down from Adam. So we've carried this stuff all our lives. Come down from rebellion of doing it our own way, that God lovingly begins to woo us into a deeper relationship with him as he frees our heart from all that has had us imprisoned. You see, it's his love that keeps drawing us and giving us that freedom. But the enemy of our soul still uses our rebellion. He tempts us to rebel and then gains access because of our rebellion. Just like he did with Eve in the garden. He lied to Eve, told her that God was withholding stuff from her, and that if she ate of the fruit of the tree, she could be just like God. She listened to the devil and she rebelled against God and took the fruit and ate it. Because of Adam and Eve, like it or not, we're all born rebels. Like it or not. But let's look at what happens when we choose rebellion and the impact of this rebellion, not only on you, me, but on our families. You see, Adam and Eve did one small thing. They ate a piece of fruit in the center of God's garden. It was central to the relationship. This was based on trust. Was Adam and Eve going to trust God or not? That was the thing. Because we don't trust. This one tree which God told them not to eat from. They had a paradise full of trees to eat from. Such freedom and liberty to choose from any tree and its fruit. But that one small tree, just that one piece of fruit, started off a chain of events that got worse and worse. Because of Adam and Eve's initial rebellion, we all inherited a nature of rebellion against God. Now let's take a look at Abraham in the book of Genesis for a moment. Now, I presume most of us know the story of Abraham. He was called out of his father's place and he came, listened to God and moved. But look, he still had stuff of rebellion in his life, even though he was called. Because Abraham deceived the Egyptian king when he lied about his wife, because he thought the Egyptians would kill him if he admitted Sarah was his wife. So instead, Abraham offered his own wife to this Egyptian king and said she was his sister. He used a half-truth because she was a half-sister. You see, he was scared, so he lied. Yeah, he's a man of God now, you know, he's following God, listening, but he's still got all that other stuff there, the inheritance. We read where he did this in Genesis 12, 10 to 13, and he did it again in Genesis 20 to verse 2. He repeated the same lie twice. But then it goes on further. Then we see the next generation, Abraham's son Isaac, followed in his father's footsteps. And as we can see in Genesis 26:7, Isaac repeated the exact same sin. He'd done it, the exact same thing. Why? Because it's the same as the rebellion that's come from the garden. You carry stuff from your family line, whether you realize it or not, we do it. It's just who we are. Isaac also learnt to be a deceiver, and he lied also about his wife to the Philistine king, Abimelech. He lied and said his wife was his sister through fear. He lied in case they killed him and took his wife. When his king realized through a God-given dream that Isaac had lied and the king nearly committed adultery with his wife, King Abimelech gave his wife back and he was angry with Isaac. Like father, like son, the exact same sin was repeated. Don't we do that? We carry it down the family line. It's an inheritance, whether we want or not, whether we realize or not, comes down the family line. But let's look at this family generational curse that went down the family lines. You see, the lying, deceiving problem didn't just stop there. In Genesis 27, we see that Isaac's child, Jacob, deceived Isaac and lied to Isaac when he was old and could hardly see. Jacob told his father Isaac that he was actually his brother Esau so he could receive the blessing of the firstborn. So that lying has gone down the family line now, because they've all done it. But it doesn't stop there. Jacob's sons became deceivers as well. In Genesis 37, we can see that Jacob's sons sold their brother into slavery because they hated him and lied to Jacob, their father, and said wild animals killed him. So lying and deceiving became the family sin. It went down the generations. Through the generations, handed down to each generation. You see, life without true heartfelt repentance gets more messy and tangled in our lives without God. If we don't somewhere in that family line give that a death blow by coming to Christ and saying, Jesus, we need you, I repent on the family, all of that stuff. If we don't do that, that just stuff keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. And sometimes we walk around thinking, why am I going through this stuff? Because we don't realize what's going in the spiritual realm, what's actually happening. So I hope you get my point. We carry stuff down the family line, good and bad. There's the blessings that come down too, you know, the good stuff. But we need to understand what goes on. Because the first Adam rebelled against God, we all received and inherited this nature of rebellion against God, like it or not. In Lamentations 5:7 says this, it says, our ancestors sinned and are no more, but we bear their punishment. Do you understand that? Because we're carrying the same sin, so we're still doing the same stuff. Even though they're gone, they're no more, we bear the punishment. That's why you need to understand, okay, where's this coming from? And pray through some stuff. Why? Because like it or not, just like Adam and Eve's rebellion, all of humanity are rebels. And because we do the same, we rebel because it's in our nature, our fallen nature. You see, it's in humanity's DNA. Friends, that's why we need a saviour. That's why we need Jesus. Leviticus 26:40 says this. Leviticus 26:40 is a huge antidote to the antidote to this huge problem. It says, but if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors and their unfaithfulness and their hostility towards me, I will forgive them. You're thinking, why do I have to ask forgiveness for my family? You know, even at a past time. Because that stuff is still coming down the family line. Spiritually, you're still carrying that stuff. So if you're doing that, if you're asking for forgiveness for all of the family line, you cut that then and there. In Exodus 34:7, it says, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. That sounds an unjust God. That's not, if you're reading it from just a natural way. What he's saying is that we're carrying that stuff and we need to come to a place of asking God to forgive us. And why? Because they refused to repent. They carried on the sins of their forefathers and reaped the consequences. I can see this very lineage of trouble in my own family, but I'm not going to go into my family's sin today. I think I've told everyone what happened in the last week. It was a bombshell. Especially since I heard some stuff in my family. Imagine only this week, my family lineage only this week, that literally shook me to the core. I've had to process, but now through knowing family history, I see some of the things that plagued my own life. So now I can pray through this. Now I can pray through some of the stuff that I've carried down that I didn't even know. You know, I'm walking around in darkness. Why do I go through this? Why do I struggle with this? Because I came to know the living, loving God. He forgave me, healed me, set me free to live a totally awesome, exciting life. 23 years now of an adventure and a journey. You know, go through me hard stuff, but he loves me, that he loves me. So I can walk in the excitement and the joy and the fun. Let's take a look at David's lineage. He murdered Bathsheba's husband and then slept with her. Then we see the sins of the forefather continue. King David's son, Amnon, raped his half-sister Tamar. See, this has all come out of that. Then again, some more consequences. Absalom, King David's son, slept with King David's concubines. The family sexual sin started all because of King David's grave misjudgment of murdering an innocent man and taking his wife. So when stuff comes down the family line, when you're going through stuff, sometimes then you don't even know why you're doing it. You have to think, okay, maybe I've got to pray through and break that stuff. Yeah, we're saved, he loves us and all that, but sometimes we don't understand what is actually been hooking in with legal access. You can trace many biblical lineages and see the family curse that follows as well as God's blessing when repentance has been sought. Have you ever observed someone you know continually breaking bones? It seems so strange, and we just put it down to fate or bad luck because we don't understand that we're dealing with a spiritual issue. You know, when you see something continuing in someone's life and you don't know what's going on, we just think, oh, well. There's more to it than that. If we can see what's going on in the spiritual realm around us, you know, and you only do that by being born again, by coming to the love of Christ, he starts to open up your spiritual eyes and you start to see what's going on. See, more often than not we see this stuff is because of an occult door still open in our lives. Demonic spirits have been given access to lives because of sin and rebellion. Or sometimes we see a whole family of all sorts of sicknesses right down the family line. Friends, it's so important to understand that some things that happen in our lives come right out of the supernatural realm, the unseen realm. Without a spiritual birth, you will never see this stuff. That is secretly working in your life. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You must take the new nature of the Holy Spirit. When he does that, he starts to open up your eyes. When you're born again, born anew, or as the Roman Catholics put it, born from above, same thing. Your spiritual eyes begin to open as the Holy Spirit enlightens the eyes of your understanding to spiritual things, and then you'll be able to see things you wouldn't have seen before. And then Jesus teaches you to walk this life with him. You see, if we're trying to look in the natural, we're never going to see it. It's the spiritual eyes that need to be opened to see what's going on. There's a whole realm that's all around us all the time. You ever walk in a room sometimes, I always say this, and you pick up stuff. You think, something's going on here. I can't work out, why do I feel uncomfortable around this person? Why does this person make me feel good? There's always a spiritual connection to people. You see, the world is still trying to get back into the spiritual realm through rebellion, through every other conceivable way but God. Through religion. You know, you can be as religious as sin, it's not going to help you. You can be as religious as sin, it's not going to do anything. You see, most of these religions put the name of Jesus in their spiritual lineup of lies, but it's still the same rebellion that Adam and Eve was initially enticed with in the first place. Mormons say that Satan and Jesus are brothers, and that you can become your own God on your own planet. Become a God on your own planet. Buddhists say that you can be your own God. Exactly what the devil said to Adam and Eve in the first place. You can be like God. You can be your own God. You see, people put the name Jesus in the spiritual lineup, but they all deny that he died on the cross, paid for your sins, and that he's actually God. They all put the name there. All sorts of religions mention Jesus, but they deny he's God the Son, the only true sacrifice, the only true antidote for our sin nature. Try and do it any other way. See, because we're rebels, we think, no, I don't believe that. I'm going to try another way. Have fun. I'm here when you're ready. That's what Jesus says, because it's the only way. If Jesus wasn't the only way, then that means God is cruel. Instead of loving because he sent his only son to be crucified, but it was for your sin and my sin. If there was another way, then God's a cruel God. Why would he send Jesus to the cross to pay for every man's sin? That's cruel. That's not the God that I know. God is a God of love. He loved us so much, he knew there was only that one way. There was no other way. So he sent his son, said, son, you do it. You die for these people. Pay the price for them. Shed your blood. And he's risen again. And now we get free. How exciting. How I get heartbroken when I realize sometimes, you know, when people say, oh, there's many other ways. It's like, wow, God, that's not the God I know. No, friends, Jesus is the only true Savior, the ultimate sacrifice. He died and rose again for you and for me. The world sings about its rebellion in blind abandonment. I'm on the highway to hell. Yeah. Really? Back in black, Satan get you. No one's putting up a fight. What would possess someone to sing that stuff? But that's what, that's what the world is singing. Hey, Satan, let's have a party. No one's putting up a fight. That's what these words are saying. What will possess someone to sing that stuff? You know what the truth is? It's rebellion. Rebellion. People are singing that because they're rebels. In 1 Samuel 15:23, the Bible says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Did we hear that? 1 Samuel 15:23 says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Through witchcraft, which is the fruit of rebellion, witchcraft, the same fruit that Adam and Eve ate in God's garden, was rebellion. The world is full of rebellion, seeking a God in their own image. Instead of being made in the image of God, man has always wanted to be God. For any other way but Jesus. Oh, I'll believe in God, but not Jesus. Friends, where's that coming from? That's not coming from the Spirit of God. That's coming from other spirits that are trying to get people trapped and deceived and stuck in their own sin and stuck in their own misery and all that. But it's actually Christ is the one who wants to set people free. He's the one who has the answer, because he is the answer. Just as the serpent originally said in Genesis 3, you can be like God. In other words, you can be your own God. Just like the Mormons say, just like Buddhists say, just like you hear all this stuff, they all say, you can be your own God. Don't believe that stuff. Yeah, he was a nice man. Yeah, really. He paid with his own blood. The fruit of witchcraft is huge. As a matter of fact, it's the universal religion for people trying to have spiritual experiences without God. It gets used every day. Even though they're trying to fill the missing spiritual void that can only be filled by the living God. People try to fill it every other way, but God. Without having this godly awakening that's called being born again, people find that something is still ailing in the heart of man. There's a missing part that we don't find until we repent and surrender to God once again. And friends, repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is about turn. Turn away from the stuff that's got you trapped. Why do you want to be in that place? But instead, the world still looks for illegal access into the spiritual realm without God through its clairvoyance and psychics. Now, I grew up in that clairvoyant psychic stuff as a kid. My parents were in that, and I'm telling you, that stuff, there was always fear. I see fear in the house. I've seen stuff move around the house. I know there's a spiritual realm. I know how real it is. I grew up in it. I carried fear all my life. Until I got born again, perfect love cast out fear. All that dark, demonic stuff left me. It's like, wow, I'm free now. So these clairvoyants and psychics, who are just as lost as everybody else with their magic potions, otherwise known as drugs. You see, did you know the root biblical word for pharmakia, which is where we get the word chemist or pharmacy, means the use of medicine, drugs or spells, sorcery and witchcraft? You see the connection? Or American Indians, don't you find it strange that witch doctors take magic potions to go into the spirit world? They take drugs to go into the spiritual realm. Or American Indians do this as well. They take magic mushies. I took magic mushies twice years ago. Yeah, I had a spiritual trip, but not the kind that was peaceful. I was literally fighting for control of my sanity. I saw the demonic realm open up to me, but I had to lock myself in a room for fear of losing it completely whilst on this demonic spiritual experience. You know, and I knew, even though I wasn't a Christian, didn't understand who God was, I knew that that was bad spirits. It wasn't just my mind going, it was out there. I had to lock myself in a room and get away from everyone. I was going to lose it. Marijuana smokers do this, whether they know it or not, realize it or not. They're going into the spirit world, opening up huge occult doors while stoned. Smoked dope for 16 years. I understand all this stuff. People are looking for a spiritual experience. They think, oh, I'm just getting higher. There's more to it than that, friends. That's what we think here, but that's not what's going on in here. There's something missing, so we're looking for it. Then they get attracted to psychics and clairvoyance and on, all because of Adam's rebellion embedded in their DNA. They detest God and they don't even know why. You see, friends, just as rebellion is in mankind's DNA because of our forefathers' rebellion in the Garden of Eden and was passed on down through the generational family line, like it or not, so is the memory of God placed in our DNA from Adam's relationship with God. This is why we're always searching for spiritual experiences, often vacillating between the two places, having a foot in both kingdoms until more of Christ is formed in us. We do these things. That's why we need a saviour. That's why we need Jesus. I'm not talking about walking in legalism and perfect. Forget it. You ever start doing that, you're going to be a mess. You know what it is? It's walking in the love of God, love of Christ, knowing that he loves me, and the transformation starts to happen. You don't even try. You know, you start to find, hey, this area in my life that I had, this stuff that held me, has actually changed. I'm not like that anymore. So let's take a look at taking substances for highs. What is actually happening is we're going into the spiritual realm without God. It's illegal access and spiritual darkness, otherwise known as the demonic realm, has a field day from this rebellion. Why do you think you see in psychiatric wards so many people with schizophrenia and all that from just smoking dope? A lot of my friends, I mean, I nearly lost it. And yeah, I'd done the heroin and all the rest of it. I get that. But the actual dope was, my mind was shot. Did you know God warns us very strongly not to do such practices? You know, people look to the stars, which is another form of witchcraft. What sign are you, they say? Harmless fun, they say. But because we were born rebels, people choose to look to the stars instead of the very one who made the stars. They'd rather trust their destiny to some lucky star, not knowing the spirit behind this is hell-bent on your destruction, instead of finding out what God has to say about your life. Leviticus 19:31 says this, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Don't do that stuff. We can hear the Spirit of God. We have prophetic words. You can hear and know when God is speaking. And God is speaking love and goodness and kindness. And the stuff that he speaks hits your heart. And it's like, wow, it's just beautiful. Isaiah 18:19-22. When people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists. Why not tap into the spirit world, get in touch with the dead? Tell them, no, we're going to study the scriptures. People who try the other ways get nowhere except a dead end. They become frustrated and famished. When nothing works out, they get angry, cursing this God and then that one, looking this way and that, up, down, sideways, seeing nothing but a blank, an empty wall and an empty hole. They end up in spiritual darkness with nothing. Deuteronomy 18:9-12 says this, when you enter the land that God your God is giving you, don't take on the abominable ways of life of the nations there. Don't practice sorcery, fortune-telling, witchcraft, or casting spells, holding seances, or channeling with the dead. People who do these things are an abomination to God. You can't afford to do this stuff. We can't afford to get involved in that stuff because all the enemy wants to do is destroy your life. When you hear that stuff, you know, God has prophetic words for people, and what he speaks out is love. Love, goodness, kindness, hope. And he starts to see in your heart and he starts to speak goodness because he wants to bring life. But this stuff will speak lies and truth. They'll put a bit of both in there, and its ultimate thing is to destroy you. The spiritual realm is very real. So friends, remember, all of us have carried the guilt of stuff that has come down our family lines at some level. If that weren't true, none of us would die. We would live forever because it's our sin that leads us to our death. You see, I believe if Jesus didn't have to be the sacrifice for sins, he'd still be walking in the same fleshly body here on earth today. Instead, he chose to die for us. He was sinless. He made a way where there was no way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. He was the only one in the world without sin. It had to be the perfect sacrifice. That's why he shed his blood for you and me. That's why he did that. Friends, this is why we need Jesus who died for our sins. Romans 5:12-14 message version says this. You know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin, then death. And no one is exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who will get us out of it. Yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dealing sin. If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, I just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. There's no comparison between a death-dealing sin and this generous life-giving gift. The verdict of that one sin was a death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this, wonderful life sentence. If death got the upper hand, I know I'm going on a bit here, if death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life in those whose grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that one man, Jesus Christ, provides? How awesome is that? So what happened all that fall? Jesus is the answer. I could have said that instead of going for all that scripture then, probably. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Friends, I have some prayers here that I would like each of us to speak out together this morning. it's about breaking the stuff over our lives that's actually hampered us. It's about breaking all that family stuff that we've all carried. You know, there's good stuff in family because there's blessing that's come down family lines, but we've also carried stuff that we battle with and struggle with. So remembering that God is a good God who loves us and cares about us. Do you know, the Bible says every hair on your head is numbered. You're precious in His sight. So there's nothing He don't know about us, and He loves us. There's nothing He doesn't know about our past. How beautiful is that? Because He knows all about me, and I've done some things. But He loves me, that He loves me, that He loves me. And that's why I'm here today. Because of His love. Because of His goodness. Because of who He is. Because of the character of the man Christ. Can we pray these prayers? Are we all willing?
I'm willing.
All right. So we'll pray them together. There's only about half an hour's... No, I'm joking. In the name of the Lord Jesus, having appropriated the fullness of His cross, death, blood, His resurrection life, His authority, rule and dominion, I now bring judgment from the Lord against every foul power, witchcraft, black art and curse. I present Jesus Christ's overcoming power against all curses that have been raised against me and my family, written, spoken, unspoken or transferred to me. All curses of death, all curses of marriage, all curses on my health, all curses on my finances, all curses on my gender, all curses on my mental state, I declare the power in Christ's blood sacrifice against all blood sacrifices and rituals and their every claim against me and my family. In the name of Jesus, I break the power and hold over every curse that has come to me through transfer by another human being. I break the power and hold of every curse that's come to me through words spoken. I break the power and hold of every curse that has come to me through occult practices. I declare every legal hold and every legal ground of the enemy broken, disarmed and destroyed. Satan has no longer any hold over me and my family through curses or occult practices, through sacrifices. I am free. I order these curses and claims utterly disarmed and dismantled through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I command all demonic spirits that have gained access to me through curses and rituals cut off and banished from me and my household. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, I ask you to send your angels to completely disarm all curses and black arts, disarm their every device and render them destroyed. I ask your angels to remove all foul spirits involved in these curses and black arts and bind them to your feet for judgment. I now claim every spiritual blessing that my Heavenly Father has given to me in Christ. I claim those blessings now. By the authority and power of Jesus Christ, may these things be fully accomplished. I give you thanks and honor and praise. All of this I pray by the authority and in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I just speak your love and your blessing over everyone, Lord. I pray your protection. I pray, Lord, you just reveal yourself deeper to all of us, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. And I pray your love and blessing on everyone here, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.